American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a show starts at 7:30 p.m. All events tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. And that's Derek, by God, King. Ringside with Derek will be just in case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more. All night with the King. Hey, Tom, Missouri! Be there or be square.
Shift Kit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shift Kit sent you.
Anyone can suffer from recurrent or punctual erectile dysfunction due to stress, fatigue, or medical conditions. Stop feeling bad about it. Have better sex with proven solutions. Blue Chew can now offer you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis at a fraction of the price, discreetly delivered to your door. Just pick the package that matches your needs and make sure you never get caught off guard at the moment you least want it. Blue Chew will help you gain your confidence back in the most convenient way. No waiting rooms, no appointments required, no embarrassing face-to-face meeting with your doctor. Your online prescription will be approved within 24 hours. You're just minutes away from a heightened sex life. Your performance will be as great as your dreams.
Use promo code STS. STS gets your first month free. All you have to do is pay postage and handling. Now on with the show. All right, we're live from STS Studios in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and I have my old buddy, a guy that was actually in my wedding, Brian Thompson. How the hell are you, Brian?
That's true. Unfortunately, you know, maybe I brought you some luck there, pal.
Man, you still must married. Have. Yeah. The wife is awesome compared to the. You even knew the first wife, so there you go.
I'm
Brian's
eat
been
on there now. Wait a minute, I didn't mean that, brother. I'm getting eager. Man,
Brian's been on a lot of times. I went through the numbers. And try to find every episode. I'm really, like, we're up to 200, and this is 268, and I went through some episodes, and I was like, I don't remember doing that, so that's really sad. But you was on the first episode when we came back, and you were on the original show back in 2008, but you were on episode 1, 11 is one of the top most downloaded episodes ever, episode 16, 58, 100, 158, and recently 247. Man, how long? Tell, because I don't know if we've actually told this. We probably have, but like I said, I don't remember shit. But when did we actually first time we met, man?
Oh, that'd be late 2000, late 2000, I would say, because you were doing your booking for Dale Isaacs. And I was trying to get bookings, and somehow we connected. So it would have been late 2000 would be about the time frame. So, man, look at that, 19 years now, ballpark, going on 20. that we've known each other. You know, our first connection, I'm sure you remember this, was you popped for the fact that I knew who John Tolos was, and when you were doing the Coach BT gimmick, I'm like,
that's right. You sent me an email, did you? Yeah, you sent me an email.
Yeah,
and
something
you
like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You sent me an email, and you said you even was calling yourself the Icon back then.
That's right. Well, and you said, I still am.
But you had given me an email and shot me an email, said, you know, blah, 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 John Tolos. I was like, you were the first person to actually say anything about, that's actually where I stole the gimmick. I stole the gimmick originally from him and kind of took the character, and I liked South Park at the time. And I, in my mind, that character was someone that you would see on South Park, this big, fat, wussy coach that yelled and screamed and blew a whistle all the time and didn't even look like a coach. He wore a jersey, long shorts, and a do-rag. And I was a white guy, so that even made it funnier to me.
Yeah.
But that's where the character came from, originally from – I love the coach character, and I didn't think they used it to the full extent. And still think that that character – and we changed it a little bit. Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, who's been on here many times, had a great idea when I did a program with Christian Jacobs where he wanted me to do the actual coach where the khaki slacks, the long sleeve shirt with the sweater, you know, like a coach, like a college coach, with the clipboard.
Yeah,
and I thought that, yeah, I thought that looked really good, and it got over just as good as my old stupid South Park coach. But just fun. That was fun, and we met in Dyersburg, Tennessee, at an Arby's, right?
You know, I think that is right. Somehow, some way. I vaguely remember that, but I do remember that.
And the fun thing is, we've been involved when it comes to wrestling as fans, as everything. You was part of my promotion. Anything you've ever done, I've supported in any way I can. And we've just been, and we are friends, so that has something to do with it also. And I kidded around, but you were in part of my wedding. But this—that's one of the reasons I brought
payoff too. By the way, I don't work for free, Daddy. What you talking about?
Oh man, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Oh, and we did books together. We've done all kinds of wrestling shit.
We've done it all, Daddy.
Did it all. But we even did angles together. You know, you're the only reason I got to do anything with Bobby Eaton. Me and Golden Boy, and that was just one of those times where you get chills, real chills, and you're doing, I know it's all the work, but you actually get real chills in the middle of the ring when you're waiting. You're hearing the Midnight Express music coming on, and you're waiting in the middle of the ring for Bobby Eaton. So, all right, so the reason I brought you on, I know I'm do what now? I'm sorry.
Well, one real quick thing. We never got to do the BT versus BT angle that we started because we're going to do, because I went to Memphis Championship Wrestling, and we never got to finish that out, so.
That's right. It would have been the best match you would have ever seen. I mean, it would have been awesome. So,
would have had them hanging from the rafters.
We would have had them asking for a refund, probably. So
they would have had them. They would have been hanging themselves from the rafters, if you know what I mean.
There you
kill
go.
Me, get it over with. Poke my eyes.
Well,
out.
You know, you actually wrestled probably as many matches as I have now in the history. So that, you know, you like,
ooh,
to wrestle
God.
Girls. So.
How I get booked in these things, I never know.
All right, since we've been around, been friends forever because of wrestling, I thought this was a perfect time to bring you on again, because I really think, I mean, we brought Bob McGee on, and then we brought Pro Wrestling Torch's Bruce Pritchard last Thursday, and me and Bruce got to talking about the past and didn't even talk about the present much. But there's a lot going on. And this, Brian, can you ever, you know, we keep saying this is one of the biggest weeks ever, the last couple of weeks, probably the biggest months ever in the business in many, many years. What reminds you of this? I mean, when was it this much going on kind of thing?
Well, you know, it really reminds me of 1995. So the business wasn't, say, on fire in a sense of drawing crowds and things like that, and it was actually kind of on a downtick. However, you had a number of options. So, He still had WCW. He still had WWF. You had Smoky Mountain. You had USWA. You had ECW that were all kind of doing okay. You know, guys weren't setting the world on fire money-wise, but they were paying the bills with wrestling. So I feel like it's kind of a little bit better scenario than that. Not quite to where the big gravy train was back in the day, but kind of a little bit better version of that 1995 where you had more options. Obviously, you have two really strong options in WWE and AEW, and then everything else kind of falls behind that, kind of playing into those Smoky Mountain, USWA, ECW roles. So that's kind of where I put it, you know, a little bit better than that, but we shall see. But very exciting, no question, and certainly the best time in more than, and right at that 20-year mark since WCW and ECW went out of business, so glad to see the talent having financial opportunities.
You know, I can't remember who it was, but I was going through Twitter yesterday, and there was one of the guys, and I want to say he worked for NWA, which we'll talk about here in a second. I want to say it was Nick, but I don't know. But they said that's the main thing about what's going on now, that everyone has – it's making more money. Even the independent guys are making more money, unless you're in Dyesburg, Tennessee. No, he didn't say that. But, hey, you know, they –
West Tennessee, yeah.
The big thing is that there's opportunity, and you can go different places and make more money. You know, the guy that gets really hot, independent wise, say he's the darling star for PWG, the next one. Almost all the WWE guys go down there and watch that. So you have opportunity for WWE. Then, you know, you got the AEW guys watching PWG also. And then that guy has the opportunity not to make, you know, $500 a week. They can give him as much as they want to give him. And apparently, New Japan, it was Moxley. It was Moxley being interviewed in Observer, what I read, where he had talked about an interview. And Moxley said that even the New Japan guys that were under contract were getting a raise from their contract. So, wow. I mean, I'm thinking their contracts are not even up, and they're still giving them raises. And guys like, you know, Taven. Matt Taven apparently got a huge guarantee from ROH. You know, a guy that wouldn't have got that guarantee by no means 2 years ago or even a year and a half ago. Yeah. So it means a lot. So let's talk about something that you put over big to me, and then I went and watched it. I was kind of apprehensive about watching it because it's either or. It's either going to be real campy or it's going to be I heard somebody say it's almost like a parody. But when I watched it, when I first started watching it, that's the way I feel. But when I got done, I was like, man, I just watched wrestling from the 80s. I mean, that's the way I felt. Let's talk a little bit about what's your feelings on the NWA show.
I kind of went in a little bit of the same, you know, obviously knowing some people that are involved with the product, you know, you feel a little more comfortable with Tim Storm, Jim Cornette, et cetera.
Right.
But going in, I was like, you know, I always felt like my opinion has always been, it's hard to go back to those days because the talent from that 80s era, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s was so good. The talent was so good that you will never beat it. You can never out promo a Dusty Rhodes. You can never out wrestle a Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. So I always felt like it was going to be hard to do anything that would even come close to touching that. And how would it come across? Would it look like a parody? Would it look like a B version? And honestly, I was pleasantly surprised that it felt like, had the studio style never ceased to exist. I know there's been places that have utilized the studio style. Let me preface that. But let's just say had the NWA Crockett Promotions continued, that would be kind of what it would look like today. And that would be some of your current talents. And I was actually, to really pinpoint two people that I'm going to put over, Nick Aldis and Eli Drake got over with me on their promos. I didn't forecast them to cut that style of promo and be good at it. You know, that you'd seen them on the traditional, I don't want to call it scripted, but maybe scripted, I don't know, that more cookie-cutter modern wrestling promo, say my lines, I'm going to whip you, you know, that same old no emotion to it, I'm reading lines I was fed. But they did. They did a really good promo, both of them. So I was kind of like, wow. And the matches, they weren't, you know, grab a headlock and hold it for 20 minutes, but they also paid homage to that slower style, the more methodical, look like you're trying to beat the other guy style. I was pleasantly surprised, Brian. That's the main thing I could say. And so
I was looking forward to that show. I turned it on when it was on, and I was like, oh, I don't want to hate on this. I don't want to hate on this. I kept telling myself that, you know. Then I said, well, I'll just – and you sent me some – I sent you something when we sent back on Messenger. And so yesterday I sat down and watched it from start to finish. It just has that feel that I loved and remembered. And also the promos. Eli Drake was – and also you didn't mention, but, you know, I do know you know Tim Storm pretty well. The only thing that hurt his promo to me was the crowd was a little too rowdy for some of the stuff. But I thought his promo about age and his mom and the whole nine yards, I thought that was just – I mean, there was so much emotion to it. And you're right. Those weren't script. They are professionals, and they're really good at doing that. The matches were what I wanted to see. I remember being just boom, boom, boom when I was watching wrestling back in the day. And you said, you know, not the slow style, not the fast. I'm going to tell you, Conley against Drake was, if you like modern wrestling, it was the modern style with a lot of near falls and a lot of really hot moves and a really, really good match. There's something for everybody in this show, and I thought I was real impressed. I can't wait to next week, and that's the way I've been feeling with the AEW show is I can't wait till the next show comes on kind of thing. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back with my old buddy, Brian Thompson.
Choosing the Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shiznit sent you.
This is your bedroom. This is your bedroom with Blue Chew. Blue Chew uses the same active ingredients as in Viagra or Cialis, but now comes in chewable form. Chewable means better, cheaper, and works faster than pills.
I've tried Cialis, I've tried Viagra. Blue Chew works the best. It's a fraction of the cost.
Blue Chew's definitely gotten the job done.
No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line, no more awkwardness.
Blue Chew allowed me to have more sexual freedom because it kicked in and worked faster.
Ordering Blue Chew is an absolute no-brainer for any man.
Blue Chew makes my girlfriend, like, want to put up with me in bed.
I felt like I did when I didn't have ED.
Order online to get your first month free.
I want my girlfriend to want me, and with Blue Chew, she really does. Blue Chew is the future of manhood.
That's BlueChew.com. Promo STS, and you get to try it for free.
Wow.
I hear you.
Wow.
American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a show starts at 7:30 p.m. All advance tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. Hey. That's we have a new king of pro wrestling, and that's Derek By God King. Ringside with Derek will be just in case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more on A Night with the King. Hey, Tom Missouri! Be there or be square.
So what do you want from me?
All right, we just got done talking about the NWA show. Go, it's on YouTube, guys. Go out of your way to see it. It has to have a little bit. It's, I guess, it's climbing up to almost a 500,000 downloads, and which is a lot. But Corgan has already said, you know, this is not. He can't make money doing this, so eventually something is going to change. Here's something funny, Brian, and I don't remember. I know I've told you this, and I know you probably don't remember it, but when I was doing Wrestling Riot, I wanted to do a studio show like the Memphis show, but with all the local guys. And when I started, got about midway through that, I thought, damn, this is what I wanted to do, but I wanted it to look like the Memphis show, you know, just the two bleachers and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, just fun. I take every, the two Storms, Tim Storm, who did a great promo, and I'm a huge James Storm fan, so it was fun to see what they did with him. So what I want to do, I just talked about, AEW. I know you've watched some of theirs and NXT and everything. Before we go to that, what I want to know is, what do you think? You know, Raw seems to be a show that no one's wanting to watch now, and no one really cares about, and it becomes the B show with SmackDown going to Fox. What changes? What do we got to see for people to go back to Raw, or will they ever go back to Raw?
That's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. There's still, you know, almost 2.5 million people watching every week, so I don't know if they've completely abandoned Raw. Kind of, it's almost habit watching. I mean, I always typically, honestly, right now I've been watching the Major League Baseball playoffs more than anything. So, but usually Raw is kind of in the background, have it on, kind of watch, you know. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how that shakes out, how the ratings hold up. Do they stay? Will they, you know, for the longest time, SmackDown would stay right at that 2 million mark, dip below a little bit. So will Raw do that, or will Raw rebound, or what will happen? So,
yeah, I become the person that watches it on Hulu, and then the person that just goes out of their way to watch the angles, or if there's a really good match I want to see. My mom is a habit person, like you were talking about, having Raw on at all times, you know, and I love my mama. You know that, Brian. She told me this weekend that she has Hulu, and she's decided that she's going to watch, as she said, her shows on Monday night, and she'll just watch Raw, because I told her it was, you know, 190 minutes, is what I almost said. It was 90-minute show compared to 3-hour show on Hulu with no commercials. And she's like, that's how I'm watching Raw now, because I just can't sit through 3 hours. And that's her. That's the person over 50. That's the person that's watched it for a long time, that's decided, hey, you know. And she didn't think much of the SmackDown, you know, that I didn't either, the big show, except for The Rock and maybe the main event. But she was just like, it was on Fox, and it was just like she just changed the nights, is the way she felt. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I'm not the WWE hater by no means. I don't want to see them go out of business. I'm not that person. It's stupid to say that. And
the checks that come in, I don't know what their frequency is from the networks, but their checks have just spiked. You know, this is their big quarter that they've been waiting on, as far as those television rights fees that really spike up. So, yeah, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, their health is better than it's ever been, which, again, you know, is good for the talent, because they have more discretionary income to give the talent. And with there being more options, they're going to get that, versus that, you know. We almost had 2 decades where talent really had no leverage.
Zero leverage. Pretty much zero.
I mean, you had to become a John Cena type to really have any leverage. And he would be one of the few, he and maybe a Randy Orton. Even CM Punk didn't have that much leverage, because when he did get his renewal, look what happened to him. He got buried not long after that. So,
right.
Define buried.
Well, yeah, that's so, to say buried. You're on television.
I am the holder. But
yeah. You're on television. And, you know, I've said this a bunch of times about, and apparently I haven't watched the documentary on it, the Kane and Brian Danielson thing. Daniel Bryan thing, where everyone said, they're burying Daniel Bryan with this Kane thing, and he loved it.
I know, it's crazy like that. I mean, things we as smart fans, or whatever you want to call us, that actually, you know, the average fan doesn't think about this stuff more than, you know, the 2 hours or whatever they watch a SmackDown, or 3 hours they watch Raw, and they go on about their lives. The rest of us talk about it, but, and we are glad you do talk about it and listen to us right here.
That's right. Oh, shoot. That's right. Three times a week now. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, baby. Woo!
Cheap pop, daddy. Right here in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Hey, speaking of which, Jonesboro, I know it's a little off topic, but just want to have a somber moment. Paul Adams unfortunately passed away.
Oh, wow. Yes, yes.
In the wrestling world, no Paul Adams. And but, you know, kind of one of the sun rising after a storm, a couple of old Ozark Mountain guys popped out of the woodwork in some conversation on my own personal Facebook timeline. So it's been kind of I've been kind of in reminisce mode, Brian. You know, this.
Well, if you are, if you know what we're talking about, if you're sitting here and you go, Ozark Mountain Wrestling, I remember. You go to Brian, ask to be Brian's friend. There's some stuff going on there that's fun. Paul Adams, I always considered a friend. We met the email is how we met when he started working with Bert, and I actually sent Bert a note saying that I thought Paul was really good, blah blah blah, and then Paul sent me a note and said, hey, thanks for, you know, putting me over. Bert used to not really like me, but he would put things on like on Ozark Mountain Wrestling. There's a show where he says Little Brian Trammell from Steele, Missouri. And he's talking like I'm a kid.
That.
Yeah.
And Trammell.
I talk to Paul on a regular basis and off and on. And then when they get sent the news over, I looked over at Facebook and I hadn't talked to him in like 2 years. I don't know why, but what we were doing is when he was promoting on a regular basis, I'd see his show. And I would just send him a message and say, you know, that looks like shit or something. I mean, most of the time I said, that looks good. But we finally met, I think we met two or three times, but we hung out when I was doing the website at, in Ripley, Tennessee. So just a super nice guy. And I just, one of those things we just hate to hear. All right. We got off our subject a little bit, but yeah, he deserves
put on a rope.
That's right. Okay, so we're looking at, you know, I want to talk just a little bit, because we talked a lot about it, and we have our own Wednesday Night Dynamite Impact.
Right.
What's your thoughts of Impact being on Tuesday night, being on Access, and is this going to be what gets them? Because, you know, they have excellent wrestling, dude. They have some of the best talent with Michael Elgin, plus you name them. Almost all of them are just hard workers. Is this going to get them being on Access, more audience, and ever get the stigma away from them?
Stigma may never go away, unfortunately. It just is what it is. It takes a while to live that down. I mean, you know, WCW got a stigma toward the end of its run. But as far as the television situation, I think that's really good for them. Glad for those guys and girls that are working there. I don't really watch it that much. I will watch it more so now that it is on Access. You know, but honestly, a lot of those shows almost look the same. I mean, if you just changed out the logo, do you really tell a difference between Impact, Ring of Honor, you know, some of those higher-level indies? They all kind of have that same core look. The production values over the years have really improved. I haven't really followed Impact that much. I'm not a big fan of the intergender stuff. It's just not my thing. I understand why some people think, you know, or whatever with it. That's fine. But I don't. So, you know, a little bit of that's kind of...
And you're talking about in wrestling, not in your personal life, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm getting married soon, brother. But, But, you know, I mean, it's just, I think it's just a hard, right, the upside downside of the better marketplace, it's just hard to carve out a niche right now. I know, I think Ring of Honor is hurting a little bit from what you read. I mean, of course, you know, you can only put so much stock in that, so I'm sure they're doing okay. I mean, they're probably solvent. I mean, I haven't heard any rumors of them going out of business anytime soon, but obviously with an AEW, I think a lot of that fan base is filtered there, so... My long answer is good for Impact. I'm, you know, good for that company to have a better television situation than Pursuit. Coming from someone who used to be on the Pursuit channel years ago, so that's all I got to say about that, Brian.
Right. I'm happy for him. I hope it works out for him. All right, let's go to Dynamite. Let's go to AEW. You've had a chance to watch two shows so far. What is your thoughts on, and it, here's my thought, my first thoughts, after we do these shows, the review shows, and they're just boom, boom, boom. And then afterwards, I think of things that I should have said, but the look of the show, the color, everything is just totally different. You said they all look the same. I think that's one of the things, but what's your thoughts, so far with the Dynamite show?
I mean, and I haven't watched it in full. I've watched bits and pieces just because of schedule and this or that. It's exciting. I mean, I'm glad for the talent there. I do think the production is, I mean, you think for a company that's now produced less than 10 shows total at this point, still coming up on show number 10, when you add up all the pay-per-views that they did between, you know, before the television start and now a couple weeks worth of TV, so still under 10 shows. Pretty impressive, you know, no question. So obviously the money is there to last. It looks good. You know, a lot of, you know, everybody, the athletes, they can do that flip-flop fly that, you know, a certain segment of the population really enjoys. For me, sometimes it kind of feels like you're watching the same thing, different guy. So we'll see how that shakes out. Do like some of the angles that they've done, you know. Do like the fact they show some video packages, things like that, that I think a lot of promotions didn't do a good job of, especially starting out over the years. Because you always got to anticipate you have a new viewer, so you can't just assume they know exactly what happened last week. So it's very important to constantly remind them. Plus, it allows you not to have to fill near as much television time. That's an old trick in the wrestling world, especially for those who used to tape programs and produce them. But... you know, it's exciting, no question about it. It's good to see big crowds, you know. I mean, I think it's good. It's good, good competition. We'll see where it lasts. It's interesting, though. I did have a friend of mine. He follows wrestling, not like us. He has a life outside of, you know, wrestling. But,
hey, man, I'm building an empire here, Brian Thompson.
We're building an empire.
Yeah, this is my work job, my shoot job. Now, you know, I still have to have my shoot job, so.
But it was interesting. He caught the countdown show, I guess, that was aired a couple weeks ago on the Tuesday night before the initial debut Wednesday, and he was kind of hyped up about it. But once he watched the show, he didn't get to watch it until the replay. He's like, I watched a woman's match. I fell asleep, or he fell asleep right after the ladies' match or something. And then he's like, I think like WWE has better athletes. The WWE just needs to go back to Attitude Style.
Oh, wow.
It'd be interesting to see how many casuals have that dynamic. You know, is this going to bring fans back? What, you know, the question will always be, what is that base that they will have? Is it a million, million two? They can count on week in and week out. And what's the peak casual that's gone away from wrestling that will come back to that? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend of mine send me a message, and he said, you know, AEW won't last very long, blah, blah, blah. And I said, this is not about it's about live television. If they can keep that million viewers and a little bit more every once in a while, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, live TV means something. Like, you know, me and you could put up.
TNT is behind it, too.
Do what now?
I mean, TNT is extremely
behind. Yes, they are. Yes, yes.
TBS. TBS has been a couple of things that says that. One, you know, TBS broadcasts Major League playoffs, the National League, and I've been watching that. Of course, my hometown area Cardinals are in the mix of it, hopefully for a little while longer. They're not doing too good right now, but be that as it may, every time on there, they're doing reads for AEW. There's AEW commercials. Little thing comes on the screen, so you know that's got a good fan base watching, and so they're really pushing there. I think there's replays on TNT, replays on TBS. So, I mean, I think it has some life. I give the cons, I imagine, have about 3 years of a plan to see where it is after a 3-year window.
Well, that's the window, too. Yeah, that's the window also with the network. So in 3 years, they sit down, they decide whether they get this big television contract like WWE did, or do they still have the same thing. So the cons are going to make that decision. I spent X amount of money. Yeah. Did I make any money? Now they'll make money on the other end. So in 3 years, we got this huge TV show that's still getting ratings, and they say, look, we'll give you a gazillion dollars to keep doing live television, and that's where they will. And that's what he's in for. He's in for the 3 years. Be interesting.
I may be mistaken. I think TNT may be even covering some production costs now. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe,
part of the structured deal. I thought I had heard that somewhere along the line is that TNT's putting the bill there, so that's not no $50 payoff. In East Arkansas, brother. I mean, that's some real money.
Hey, I gotta have at least $50. I gotta have at least $50 to get out of that.
I ain't leaving the house for less than $100.
No,
but you know, even back in the day, Cornette talked about running TV for Smoky Mountain was going to be a $20,000 expense in 1995 for a small territory show to get maybe a month's worth of TV. You know, at one setting, one taping. So do that math. Look at the scale up right there. So I would say it's a good $400,000 probably to do television of that magnitude. And if TNT's covering that, you know, hey.
Yeah. There's stuff that we want. And it being not a public-owned company, there's things that we're never going to know about AEW unless they get really huge and big. All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. As everyone knows, here. Same bat time, same bat channel, 3 times a week. That's right, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there.
All right.
And I love my mama.
He does.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at KT_does_art@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at Instagram.com/KT_does_art.
That was another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. Looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever? That's right, contact me and be a contestant on Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. A big shout out to our sponsors this month. Also, remember, we have a Patreon for only $1. That's patreon.com, Shooting the Shiznit without the G. A special thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at locals2legends.com, and Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website. You can reach me on Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter at BT Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook with a Shooting the Shiznit Facebook page. We have the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. If we don't like you, we'll kick you out, but you also have to ask to get in. All the archives are at www.stspod.club. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, Spotify, and all the fun podcast players. podcast roll call. A big shout out to Creative Control. Keeping it 100, Memphis Memories with Randy Hales. And my buddies over there at P3 Radio, Max and Josh. Guys, I am Brian Trammell. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.